wow, my story. Okay, I was working in the DV sector. I've been working in the DV sector for about three years, working with women at really high risk of domestic violence. Loved the job, loved what I was doing. And then I think I got divorced, and was kind of like feeling a bit low and what have you. And I had a friend who I'd known for about 10 years, kind of knew his history. I knew that he had a bit of a notorious history, and there was some previous possible, well, there was DV in his relationship, in his marriage, but kind of thought, well, I'll take him at face value. He said he's changed, man, and blah, blah, blah. So about very early on in the relationship, the signs were all there. They were all there. He was aggressive, he was angry, he constantly made threats. And I don't know, I think at the time I tried to sort of like minimise a lot of his behaviour, because there is a tendency, I think, in the DV sector to think everyone's abusive when actually they're not, they're just expressing themselves. But I don't know, I just started to minimise his behaviour. I don't know whether it's the fact that I was on the rebound from a broken marriage or whatever I had going on for me at the time. I just minimised his behaviour, and he got progressively worse and worse and worse. And we'd argue, and he'd send texts, and I've never been a person to do the whole text war thing, but he'd text war, and it would just get ridiculous. And the texts is that, you know, they'd start off with like FF or whatever, and then they'd start going real deep and really hurtful and stuff like that. So emotionally, I don't think I was in a really good place. I think during that time my cousin had died as well, so I was really frazzled. I'd fallen out with my family. It just seemed like every significant relationship that I had at the time just was breaking down. So he seemed like something really good to hold on to. It was one of those what we'd probably call toxic relationships. So it was very, very intense, very drama-ified. Lots going on, lots of phone calls, lots of texts, lots of arguing. And I just kept getting more and more sucked in. You know, I felt a lot of the time he'd make me feel really guilty. If he kicked off, he had a really good way of making me think it was, or making me believe that it was my fault in some way. And even though I'd had the training and I know the cycle and I knew it all, and it still, I don't know, I still fell for it. I still kind of thought, yeah, it's me. It was me. I didn't react the right way. I said the wrong thing. I wound him up. I wasn't thinking. And he had such a good way of, I'd never come across somebody who is so Machiavellian, so highly manipulative, whereby he constantly made it was everything was my fault. And then what he started to do was knock my job. He started to knock my job and say, you know, you're so busy in other people's problems, and, you know, you're so busy working with the police. And then what he started to do was saying things like, obviously being from the black community, he'd say things like, I'm going to tell everybody that you're a police informer. I'm going to tell people that you work with the police and you're a police informer. So that used to scare me. I didn't want to go back to work. In fact, I don't think I was in the right frame of mind to go back to work. And not long after he went to my workplace, I took an overdose, because I just thought, oh God, the shame, the humiliation, I felt so embarrassed, you know, this sense of shame. The fact that he'd gone to my workplace, the fact that he'd spoken about our sex life, the fact that he'd spoken about me, and the fact that the people were just entertaining, that they were listening. So in his little mind, he felt, I can do this again. So I left that job. I just left that job. I couldn't do it anymore. I don't think I fully recovered from the shame and the humiliation, and that's what he was out to do. The police were really good, because the domestic abuse unit were very, very quick to identify what his game was, and his game was to literally ruin my reputation, destroy my character, and take away my livelihood. That's all he wanted to do. He just wanted to ruin me, which is what most perpetrators want to do to women. So they were really good. I, knowing that, having the knowledge that I had, I went and got my own non-molestation order. The police were, again, excellent. They came and gave me a Home Office alarm. They put a marker on my address. checked in with me, really good. Referred me to the Marrick, which I didn't want to go to. Because when I was filling out the risk assessments, which was a shock to myself, I was coming out with very high. You know, I was coming out as high with the things that, because he used to make threats, you know, wherever I see you, I'm going to get you, I'm going to attack your son, I'm going to kill your dog. You know, when people are making threats towards your pets, it's, you know what I mean? I suppose 2 years on, I think they were just, I know them to be just threats, but at the time, it's very, very scary. Texting me, harassing me. The police would say, would issue him a harassment notice, and he'd phone me. You know, so all of that kind of stuff, or we'd get a third party to phone me, or we'd get his friends to send me texts calling me scum and stuff like that. So my confidence levels were dropping. So I was losing weight. I wasn't working. I wasn't active. I wasn't hanging around the same group of people. That I became very, very. And at the time, I didn't realise actually this is domestic violence. This is classic. You know, when I did the training with women and I talked about the classic perpetrator. I was with him, but I just refused to see it. I don't think I couldn't see it. I think at the time I refused to see it because of where I was. And I wanted somebody to make me happy. I just wanted, but he wasn't actually making me happy. He was actually making me quite unhappy. And I think the thing with perpetrators is they're so seductive and so charming that I kind of thought at some point he's going to go back to being that really good mate. So, yeah, so we went away for the weekend, Wolverhampton, and we must have had an argument. And this was the first time that I'll say, I mean, he's pushed and shoved me before, which is still abusive in itself, but this was the first time he actually was aggressive. He grabbed my hair and pulled me to the ground, and when I was on the ground, he was so angry, I thought, if I don't get up off the floor, he's going to kick me. You know, I could just see it happening in my head. And I didn't scream, I didn't shout, I didn't cry, I was very stifled. I couldn't actually believe that it happened. And he blamed me. It was my fault, you see, because what I did was I got up in his face. And because I got up in his face, he had to restrain me, you know. And, you know, what is the problem? I mean, he spent one night, this is going to sound so ludicrous, and it is ludicrous. One night he spent 4 hours convincing me that it didn't happen. At the end of the 4 hours, and I've got like a little scar on my arm that where I grazed my arm on the. And at the end of 4 hours, I was actually convinced, because now I'm tired, I want to sleep. He won't let me sleep because he's convincing me that he didn't hit me. He didn't assault me. He didn't do anything like that. It's a lie. I've made it up. I've concocted it in my head. And I remember when I finally said, no, you didn't do it, it's absolutely fine. He says, I've got tape recorders and I've got you on tape. And I remember going to bed and just happening to look at my arm and seeing the little scar from the carpet burn. And I thought, no, this really did happen. But, you know, he'd managed to convince, I don't know how he did it. We had 8 months of no contact. I got a new job, which was really good. But what happened was, whenever I used to see in the street, he used to hurl abuse. He'd see me in town, and I was with these two clients of mine who I'd just taken to a voluntary placement, and I was talking to them, and as we walked up and I saw him, and it happened to be two black women as well, as I saw him, he started barking, who to let the dogs out, woof, 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 and he kept woofing, and they were looking, and what's wrong with that man, and he was laughing, and I couldn't help but feel embarrassed. This was all after the order had finished. He was perfectly quiet whilst the order was in place. But as soon as the order wasn't in place, so I thought, do you know what? I'll contact him. I'll ask him if he'll please stop. Because so much time's gone on now that maybe if I just say, look, I'm really sorry, and I'll just da-da-da. So I made the mistake of contacting him. Bad, bad, bad decision. Bad thing to do. Yeah, really bad. Really bad. And he started off saying, well, I want to see you, I want to meet you, please let me meet you. So he started with all these really nice texts, I really missed you, do you know how much I loved you, I can't believe you broke my heart, da 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 da. So his situation's changed now, he's got his daughter living with him, so he's really settled and blah, 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 blah. So I thought, okay, well, he seems like he's changed, there's been a bit of progress in his life, hopefully he'll be all right. So I went to go and meet him, and it was fine. I was really surprised. I was like, oh, he's changed. So then we started seeing a bit more of each other. Oh no, he hadn't changed. So his new tactic now was to sit me down and tell me how wicked I was and how evil I am and how wicked I am. It literally just breaking my spirit, you know, phoning me at work, texting me at work, why aren't you picking up your phone, what's wrong with you, why are you playing games, you know. And I kept contacting him because I just wanted it to stop. I just thought, okay, if we can just find some common ground, a bit of peace, then it will just end, you know, we'll be able to stop. I got more support off victim support. Everyone was saying, so he's what a horrible character. And I just realised that, you know what, this isn't going to change unless I make a change. And I just thought, enough is enough. Enough is enough. I didn't want to go back to work because I felt too embarrassed. I felt like my credibility, my reputation, everything had gone. I felt devastated over the loss of my child. I felt that he'd put my whole life, health, everything at risk. I couldn't eat. I wasn't eating. I wasn't looking after myself. I was being a nuisance to my doctor. My doctor was really annoyed with me because everyone was getting annoyed, my behaviour. And I think this is what sometimes women do when they get to this place. And everyone's like, will she just make a decision? Will she just take some responsibility? Will she just acknowledge something? Will she just... And I knew that that's the kind of person I was becoming. And I just thought, that's it. I went and got some counselling, spoke to my doctor, sort of hid away for about 3 weeks, detoxed, deleted his number, changed my phone. I just started to try and find peace again in myself, you know, and to realise actually, yeah, I had to take some responsibility for the fact that I did keep going back to him. I kept on going back to him. I didn't seek help when I could have, when it was accessible. And the help that I was getting, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I was minimising it, I was justifying his behaviour. To some degree, it felt good being a victim. It felt good being able to blame myself. I don't know, some psychological stuff was going on there, which was a bit deep. But now, coming out of that, would I ever go back to it? Absolutely no way. No way. Here I am now, about 4 or 5 months on, and I feel so much better than I did even 8 months ago. I feel so much better now. Got my confidence back, and I think I've learnt a lot about myself, where I'm a lot more at peace with myself. I've forgiven myself for putting me through that, and I've accepted responsibility for where I went wrong, some of the decisions that I made, the advice that I didn't listen to, the options that I didn't take, you know, that all of that, I've took that on board. So I've accepted responsibility, moved on, forgiven him, not interested, not going back there, don't want to know. It's got nothing to do with me. I try not to look at it in a real negative experience, because I couldn't. If I did, I'd just be really depressed at all the things I've lost. I've lost homes, jobs, friends. If I look at it in a real positive experience, I learned a lot about myself, some of my own attitudes, ideals and stuff. And I also learned what makes a good relationship and what doesn't. And the type of men that I was going for, maybe that needed to change as well. So it's been a real learning experience. But for women out there that are experiencing it, there is a level of responsibility that we have to assume and take. But also there's lots and lots of help out there that is there for us when we're ready and when we want it. And it's a journey. It's not going to happen overnight. It might take 6 months, it might take 6 years, but once you start making those steps, you come out of it, and you're only in it as long as you want to be. That's the thing, you see, a perpetrator will make you believe you're in it as long as they can keep you in it, but the reality is you're only in it as long as you want to be in it. Because the moment I made a decision, all the fear, all the this, all the that, all the hope, all the love, everything gone. I was strong enough to say, I can do this. I did get those feelings of fear, but then I know the police are there to protect me. You know, there are friends to protect me. I can keep myself safe. I can make myself safe. You know, I'm not going to respond to texts. I'm not going to put myself in his vision. I'm not going to go around to his house. I'm not going to do any of that. I'm going to keep myself safe by just keeping a down low, letting my friends know where I'm going to be. I've got a home office alarm. I've got an alarm. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to go to his neck of the woods. I'm not going to put myself in a position where I'm vulnerable. And that's me taking all my power back. Make a decision. Because unless you make a decision, it's just, you're going to be in turmoil. There's the domestic violence helpline. Give them a call. Give them a call to have a chat. Sometimes it's just about working out your options. Talk to your friends, talk to your family. But I kind of feel talking to friends and family, they're always going to advise you from their point of view. talk to a professional, get some counselling,